Hello, everyone. My name is Jacob Emerson. I'm a healthcare writer and reporter with Becker's Healthcare. Thanks so much for tuning into the Becker's Healthcare podcast series today as we discuss emerging technologies in underwriting. We're thrilled to be joined by Bill Dimmick, who is the Vice President of Advisory Services at Optum. Bill, thanks so much for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it, Jacob.
Now, Bill, before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about your background and what it is you do exactly at Optum?
Sure. So I've been a vice president at Optum for the last 4 years or so. My team really develops what we refer to as scalable solutions. So generally software-based solutions that can be used by actuarial and underwriting departments. I've been in the healthcare actuarial space for approximately 25 years now, spent a lot of years at the local Blue Cross plan, worked as the chief actuary at a healthcare startup here in Pittsburgh for about 3 years, and have really enjoyed this latest tour of duty at Optum. It's a wonderful company.
Fantastic. Well, like I said, we really appreciate you taking the time out of your day, Bill, to join us here. As you know, a lot of payers seem to be moving into the level funded space. So what are you seeing as being some of the key underwriting challenges here, and how are payers addressing these?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jacob. Level funded offerings are really increasing in popularity with many of our clients. It's a relatively new offering, and it's really appealing because it allows carriers to compete for better risk small groups in the ACA segment by offering lower prices for similar coverage in a way that the ACA would not permit. The challenge the carriers are facing is how to identify the better risk groups from outside their existing blocks of business. Groups for which they don't have existing claim experience. Payers typically have been turning to solutions like Milliman's Curve or Optum's Group Risk Analytics to inform them of the relative morbidity of these prospective employer groups. These risk assessment solutions take easily obtained census information from the prospective groups and retrieve de-identified claim and enrollment information for the individuals that make up the groups, which can then be scored and rolled up to a group level. These solutions are designed to use highly encrypted de-identification techniques to allow such data to be retrieved and used while avoiding the need for group members to sign individual HIPAA releases. Winning those better risk groups at the right price is really key in helping payers to win not only in the level funded market, which is a newer, emerging market, but in any market such as large group where carriers are taking risk and have rating flexibility. Payers typically rely on solutions that have been offered by some of the bigger players like Milliman and Optum, that are able to source the necessary data nationwide to support a solution that works everywhere that the payer might compete. Certain startups have attempted to enter this space with varying degrees of success using other types of data like lab data or consumer data, but they haven't really been able to achieve the same predictive lift as the solutions with larger and more robust medical and claim data syndicates. Some payers have even been wary of non-traditional data sources such as consumer data and really prefer to use claim-based applications. Most of the morbidity signal for a prospective group comes from claims. And in the presence of strong claim data, other types of data struggle to provide additional lift.
I see. Okay. So the main challenge here, though, is identifying the better risk groups outside the existing businesses, and that's within new business underwriting. Bill, what would you say is going on in the world of renewal underwriting?
The other side of the coin. Traditionally, especially in large group, renewal underwriting has been done by hand, one client at a time, primarily using things like loss ratio targets. and only a small set of scenarios is typically entertained in pricing, just because it is so time and labor intensive, you know, to do the pricing one customer at a time. One of the things that we've been working on is developing innovative ways of pricing that are more scalable, that incorporate elasticity functions, behavioral economics, and renewal pricing strategies that can be explored, you know, thousands and millions of strategies at a time. The pricing scenarios that we're ultimately able to develop for our customers are pushing the boundaries of what's possible and allow our clients to achieve optimal outcomes. Optum's portfolio optimization solution in particular opens opportunities for our clients to increase margin and or retain more enrollment at renewal time. Traditional methods of underwriting are being revolutionized with these new tools and making the whole process not only more efficient, but more effective. It's a very exciting time to be in this industry.
Absolutely. So fair to say then, Bill, that renewal underwriting is moving away from by-hand labor-intensive functions.
That's right. That's right. It's really more about mass production, scalable techniques, and by creating that scalability, it also enhances our ability to be strategic, right? Because, you know, when analysis is difficult to do, you tend to do less of it and you ask less questions, right, and you explore less options. So the more scalable we can make it, the more sophisticated we're able to become.
Sure, sure. You had previously mentioned, Bill, that you have a lot of experience, decades of experience in the development of new products across the healthcare industry. What would be some of your key considerations when you're designing software for applications like this?
Oh, that's a great question. Traditional underwriters typically are working in systems that are either Microsoft Excel based or something similar. And when you're designing products for an actuarial or underwriting audience, you have to think about the user experience that they are comfortable with and that they're looking for, and how best to make an easy transition from tools that they may have used historically and the new tools that you're introducing. So although, you know, it may seem, you know, counterintuitive to say that, you know, we want to make the new tools look and feel like the old tools, in some respects, you know, that's the easiest way to get the user sort of over the hump. We really try to make sophisticated tools that are easy to use. And as I'm talking with my design team, you know, we often talk about Google, where it's really just a simple screen with a box, right, where you type in a word and you get your answer. And it's very simple to use, but incredibly complex behind the scenes, as we all know. One of the other things that, you know, is a guiding design principle for us is that, you know, to the extent that we have, you know, features for our super users, you know, sort of extras, right, things that the application can do that, you know, a typical user might not want or need to use every day, we like to make sure that those things are in the background, and although they're available, the user doesn't have to trip over them all the time. Again, if you think about Excel, right, there are a lot of special functions and features that the software contains that a lot of people don't use all the time, if ever. So we always make sure that those features stay in the background until they're needed, so that they're not creating unnecessary friction in the user experience. Another consideration is speed of the product. You know, you have to make sure that your product is responsive, especially in this day and age. Nobody wants to sit around and wait for something to run for an hour or two. You have to think about where the application will be hosted, whether you're going to do a local install or cloud-hosted application. You need to think about customization, right? Are you going to offer you know, true levels of customization, customer at a time, which can impact scalability? Or can you create an element of mass customization where, you know, you've got menus and lists and things that can be configured for different different companies, different users even, but that are truly built within a standardized function behind the scenes? You have to think about robustness and system uptime. You know, this is very different from what most actuaries are used to, which is building models for their own use. When you're creating a production application and you're putting it out into the world and people are paying you for it and expecting it to be available and expecting it to work right every time, you know, that sets a really high bar in terms of, you know, the level of support and review and sophistication that you have to bring to the development process.
Okay, so it sounds like a lot of different considerations here, but the first part of what you were saying, Bill, it sounds almost like a balance of easy transition for a lot of actuaries to more high function products and also special functions for quote unquote high-end users, having those in there as well. Before we sign off today, Bill, I wanted to ask you what you would say to a payer who is interested in improving their processes and techniques around this, but they're concerned about operational disruptions and of course, cost.
Sure. So first of all, I'll take the cost question first, which is that, you know, anytime you're making an upgrade to your processes, there should be a return on investment, right? Otherwise, why would you do it? And sometimes that return can be, you know, immediate, where you see, oh, okay, I'm going to have, you know, more efficiency in my underwriting shop, or I can see that I'm going to enhance my revenue or my margin right away. But other times you need to simply invest in capabilities that allow you to start to think about other things that will then, you know, yield better margins or enrollment. So again, you know, if your analytical capabilities are very manual, are very slow, you know, you're just unable to even explore new ways of doing things that might be useful to you. It can be very daunting, right, to update tools that you've been using for years, sometimes even decades. But you also don't want to be the last one to, you know, make a move on some of these new techniques, because by the time you find out that everyone else has done it, you know, it could be too late. So we want to encourage payers to think about, you know, taking that first step, right? It doesn't have to be a complete rip and replace of everything that you've ever known. Many of these solutions are very modular and can be incorporated seamlessly into the existing workflow or bolted sort of on top of the existing workflow in ways that, you know, allow the existing processes to continue as the new functionality is being brought online, in a way that, you know, keeps everyone relatively comfortable and doesn't create a lot of disruption and need for change management. Our products here that we build at Optum, for instance, the actuarial and underwriting products are built on the Optum Stepwise platform, which, you know, is a general platform for instantiating underwriting formulas and workflows. So by building all of our applications within that platform, they hook together very seamlessly. They're very modular, you know, and again, it allows a payer to, you know, adopt these things at a pace that they are comfortable with. And there are other solutions in the market similar to that, again, that can be, you know, bought on a modular basis and incorporated into an existing workflow. So as with any large undertaking, I think the smart thing to do is to break it down to a manageable, you know, bite-sized chunk and, you know, take the first bite, get past the blank page, and, you know, just get started. And, you know, consultants like us are here to help you, to help you to figure out where the value is, to help you to figure out what the right solution is for you. And, you know, just pick up the phone and we're here to help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So a transformation that can be done in increments, not necessarily overnight. Bill, before we go, any closing words you'd like to provide to our listeners?
You know, Jacob, I would just say again, you don't ever have to feel like this is, you know, too big to bite off. You know, you can start as modestly as you care to, and don't ever feel like you're alone, because there are people like us who are here to help and to help you, guide you through it. So, Jacob, I just want to thank you on behalf of my team and Optum for having us here today. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you, Bill, both for your time and your thought-provoking responses today. We also want to thank our podcast sponsor, Optum. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com/podcast.